Two or three times this week, I've caught myself thinking something or about to do something and said, that's not what I preached last Sunday. I need to apply my own lesson here. So this is doing me some good. And I hope it's doing you some good too. It's good for us to think about these Bible principles as they relate to our families. The psalmist said that children are a gift from the Lord. But as any gift from the Lord, there are responsibilities that come along with those gifts that God entrusts to us. And that's certainly the case when it comes to children or grandchildren. Ephesians 6 and verse 4 says that fathers are to bring their children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. There are some things that God just expects us to instill in our children, and that's a part of our responsibility as parents and grandparents. This morning I want to just review some of the most basic things that we need to teach our children. We call the lesson Big Lessons for Little Ones. And the little ones may start real little in learning these lessons. And before it's all over with, we may have to broaden our spectrum of who the little ones are here in this study. Lesson number one, serve God. That's the beginning point, isn't it? The wise man said in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Kind of like saying it's the first thing we need to know. The first thing that we need to learn is to serve God. Jesus in Matthew 6 and verse 33 said that regarding the kingdom of God, it comes first. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these other things, referring to the things of life, will be added to you. That was the first memory verse that we taught our daughter to say. And she could recite those words before she had any idea what those words meant. But that's something we wanted to teach her. How do I do that? How do I teach my child to serve God, to put God first, to make Him the important thing in life? Well, to begin with, I need to talk to my children about God. And just talk to them in a very basic way at the beginning. And try to find ways to answer their questions. They ask great questions about God. Where did God come from, anyway? And how big is God? And what does God look like? And such questions as that. And you'll have to be a little creative with some answers to those things, I guess, to try to satisfy them a bit. But the idea is to talk about God and to make Him a part of the ordinary conversation in your home, because that's a beginning point in teaching your children about the things of God. And you'll need to bring them to church. If you want your children to serve God, you need to bring Him to the place where we come together and worship God. If you want them to learn about God, you need to bring Him to the place where they have opportunities to learn together with other children about God. If you want them to serve God regularly, you need to bring them to church regularly. If you want them to put God first, you need to put bringing them to church first. And make sure you're here every time the doors are open with your children, impressing upon them the importance of what we do. And it's not that serving God is all about just what we do here. Obviously, it's every aspect of life. But this is a beginning point, and this is something that really helps little children to connect with God and our service to God and learning about that. You're going to have to work with them, of course, at home as well. And I would suggest that you worship with your children at home. Pray together with your children. And teach them how to pray. And teach them to give thanks for all the things they're thankful for. Teach them to ask about the things that they're thinking about. Try not to snicker too much when they say some of the things they say, because they're so cute. Sing with your children at home or in a car or somewhere when you're going to work. Sing church songs, hymns. Sing the VBS songs with them. You can sing those. The little songs they sing in Bible class. Sing those songs with them. It's a way to help to teach them and to help them understand. Read the Bible with them. You may need to get a simple translation in the earlier days. You may just read a Bible story book at the beginning. But make that a part of your activity with your children. Most important, in fact, let's just highlight this one. Let them see you serving God. Because quite frankly, all the talk about the importance of serving God and even coming to church and having a bedtime prayers or a song or something, none of that's going to really mean much in the final analysis if your children look at you as mom and dad and they don't see a consistent example of people that are serving God. Because children learn most by observation. So that's the most important. Lesson number one, serve God. Lesson number two follows right along on the heels of that one, and that is to learn to be respectful. When Jesus was asked what the great commandment was, he said it was our first point, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And then he said, the second commandment is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And when he said that, he was quoting from Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18. And it's interesting, in that 19th chapter of Leviticus, there's another verse just a little bit later on in the chapter that connects these two things again, the regard for God and the regard for people. It's verse 32, Leviticus 19, verse 32. God said, you shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged, and you shall revere your God. I am the Lord. So when older people come into the room, you are to rise up and respect and honor them, and you are to revere your God. Honor God, honor people. So I need to teach my children that. I need to teach them how to respect other people. I don't think about two things there. First of all, I need to teach them to be respectful of other people. And that begins with just how they interact with other people. It begins with conversation. I need to teach my children to speak to people. Now, we caution them against talking to strangers. You know, we have that little safety thing we have to be careful about. But I also need to teach my children to be warm to people and to speak to them and to interact with them. And then I need to teach them to do that respectfully, politely. I need to teach my children not to interrupt. Some children seem to have the idea that they're kind of the center of everything that goes on, and when they want something, they just feel free to interrupt whatever else anybody else is doing in order to insist that they get attention right now. I need to teach my children better than that. That's not respectful. I need to teach them politeness in conversation. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Thank you. Please. I include yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, because I'm a Southerner. Northern people kind of scratch their heads at that a little bit. I think that they just don't understand us, I guess. In the South, yes, sir, is all one word. You don't have a yes and a sir. It's yes, sir. Or yes, ma'am. It's all one word. It's just, part of it. And we teach our children that to teach them to be respectful. We teach them to say Mr. Frank, Miss Sandy, or things like that. Because we want them to grow up respecting other people. That's what God wants us to teach our children. To respect other people. And not only to respect other people, but to respect other people's things as well. Don't take them. Don't break them. In fact, just leave them alone. That's not yours. It ought to be that we can take our children to places without being, as my father used to use the expression, nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs, about how our children are going to do in somebody else's home. Are they going to tear everything up, or are they going to kind of be okay? We ought to teach them how to be respectful of other people's property. And that starts with other kids and their toys and things like that. I'll say something about that again later on. Lesson number three. I need to teach my children to be responsible. And I'm thinking of responsible in two different senses here. First of all, responsible in the sense of doing for yourself. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul laid down the principle that if a man will not work, if he refuses to work, if he's not willing to work, then he shouldn't eat either. I had a sociology professor in the university where I was studying that rather snidely referred to this as the Protestant work ethic. And she had a great deal of disdain for that. Now, this is God's ethic, that we are supposed to work and make our way in life. You know, He gave the man and the woman work in the garden even before sin entered the world. It's basic to our good to work. So I need to teach my children that life's not a free ride, that they're going to have to be responsible. They're going to have to learn how to get up in the morning and go to a task regularly, even on the days when they don't feel the best, and put in a good day's work and be productive. That's what God expects of us. And our children need to learn that at home. Parents love to give things to their children, and grandparents really love to give things to the grandchildren. We think that's just so great. And they light up when they get those things. And there's a place for that. But a word of caution. Parents or grandparents who give children too many things without the children participating by way of work or saving or spending some of their own money and some of that kind of thing, we're really doing our children a disservice when we do that, because they're not learning to be responsible. And I'm thinking also of responsibility in the sense of accountability. Romans chapter 14 reminds us, so then we will all give an account. Each one of us will give an account of himself for God. We're all going to be accountable. And our children need to learn that. That they are responsible or accountable for their conduct. And when they choose to conduct themselves in ways that are inappropriate, there will be consequences for that. They will be held responsible for that. Now, in order to instill that lesson in my children, I have to be careful and not come running to their defense every time someone in some sort of an authority position questions what they do or comes down on them for something that they've done wrong. I need to be supportive of people who are doing that, not critical of people that are doing it. And if I'm going to teach my children accountability, I can't start making excuses for them every time they've done something that's wrong. I can't say, well, yeah, but it's those other boys he was running with. If it weren't for them, he wouldn't have done that. Well, they might have contributed to it, but he's responsible. And as long as I'm making excuses for my children, they're never going to learn accountability. And when it comes time, when I've set down a rule and said, now if we violate this rule, we're going to have consequences, and the rule is violated, I have to stand by that. And I have to make sure those consequences occur. Because if they don't, once again, the children don't learn the lesson of accountability and responsibility. And that's so important for us to learn. That's an area where I think perhaps we're, as a society, not doing the very best in helping people to understand the importance of being responsible citizens. Big lesson number four, knowing right and wrong. That's fundamental to a child's welfare. Romans chapter 12 and verse 9 puts it succinctly. Abhor what is evil and cling to, hold fast to what is good. First of all, I need to teach my children there is such a thing as right and wrong. And I'll have to work on that because we live in a society where intellectuals are trying as hard as they can to obliterate the line between right and wrong, where everything's just kind of a big mass of gray and there's no really saying that one person's right and another person's wrong and there's no fixed standards or anything like that. And I'm going to teach my children better than that. There is such a thing as the right thing to do and the wrong thing to do. And I need to teach them that God is the one that determines that. In practicality, since God is the one that determines that, and all that we know about God from this standpoint is what He reveals to us in Scripture, the Bible becomes the standard then of right and wrong. Children need to know that. It's not just what they think is right and wrong in a given circumstance. It's certainly not what the other kids are saying. It's not even what's the easiest thing to do. It's not what you think you can get by with. It's not what just occurs at the moment is a good idea. It's what God says. And I'll have to teach them how to take that standard and apply it in their life. Now, when they're real little, this is about as simple as it gets. It's yes and no. It's do and don't. And I guess one of the words that children learn first is no. Because they hear that word so much. But what we're saying is that we don't do that. That's in the no category. That's wrong. And there are some things that God's Word puts in the no category. And He just says those are wrong. Thou shalt not do these things. And my children need to understand that that's always wrong. When God says don't do that, there's no excuse for doing it. There's no justification for doing it. It's wrong. Conversely, God puts some things in the right category. And those are always right to do. And so I can be assured that when I'm busy doing those things, I'm doing the right thing. And then there are some things, of course, that we have to take some principles from God's Word and apply. That's really tough for little bitty ones to do. So the parents kind of have to do that for them in the early stages. But as they begin to mature, and we talk with them and try to reason with them about what should we do here, we need to make sure they understand these principles that govern our conduct. You know, one of those principles is doing what's better. You may have a choice not between right and wrong, but a choice of something that's okay, but here's something that's even better. And God wants us to do the thing that's even better. So I need to teach my children. And then lesson number five is the lesson of sharing. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. The author says, do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Doing good and sharing. First of all, that means sharing things. I need to teach my children how to share things, which is not a lesson that comes naturally to them at times. But it will start with something as simple as when somebody else comes over to your house, they get to play with your toys. You share them with someone else. You can play with them at home when you're by yourself, but when somebody else is there, they get to play. It's sharing. Maybe sharing with your brothers and sisters. Maybe you could even take that a step further somewhere along the way and teach them sharing in the sense of actually giving that to someone else, especially someone who needs it more than you do. If your kid's toy bin looked like most of them that I've seen, you can't even see the bottom of it for all the stuff that's in there. Surely we can teach our children they could do without a couple of those things and find somebody to give them to. And maybe it's a little thing, but it starts to introduce to their minds the concept of giving and sharing of things. And that's so helpful. Number two, sharing effort. Let your children help with something. And I know that it's easier sometimes to do it yourself than to encourage their help. I remember when Lisa was little and we got the big swing set to go in the backyard and opened that box up and it had about 1,000 pieces in it or something. And I'm looking at the instructions and just kind of reading through this a little bit. And the first thing it said was, it took our resident expert 8 hours or 6 hours, whatever it was, to assemble this set. It said, with your 2-year-old helping, it will probably take you considerably longer. That's how it is. But it's important for children to learn how to help. Children can learn to be responsible around. You see how these lessons, these basic lessons intertwine? This goes back to responsibility. They can learn to help. They can have little jobs around the house. They can learn to share in the work that's done. And you might even include them in sharing in some of the work you're trying to do for the Lord. It's not always appropriate to do, but on some occasions it may be appropriate to take your children when you go to visit somebody. They might cheer them up. You can get your children involved in just writing a little note or drawing a picture and sending to somebody who's sick to kind of brighten their day a little bit. Just little things to learn how to share in the work. When you think about it, sharing is the essence of Christianity, isn't it? God shared with us. We needed, and we didn't have, and He was gracious enough to share with us. That's the essence of what we are. So there couldn't be any more fundamental lesson that I need to teach my children than to learn how to share. There are our 5 big lessons for little ones. As soon as I got done putting this together, I thought, I think some of the big ones could probably use a refresher course in these 5 things too. These, quite frankly, are 5 lessons for us all, aren't they? What I have to ask myself is, how well am I practicing these things? I certainly want my children, my grandchildren, to learn these lessons. The first thing I need to do is be busy practicing these things myself. I thought a good way for us to end up this morning, let me sing a couple of verses of the song Seek Ye First, which kind of captures some of these points that we've made. So we'll sing the first and third stanzas of this and be dismissed.